vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Scott, but listen, you should be speaking in soft tones because the topic today, migraine. Remember, lower the inputs, pull down the blinds, don't speak loudly. Well, you know, when a person has a migraine, everything hurts because everything is tweaked up. So that's why they want to, not hear things, plug in their ears, pull down the shutters, pull a cover over the head and just hide somewhere in the corner, because everything that stimulates the brain is yet another needle that hurts.
Well, I know, I don't know from personal experience, but my sister had migraines when she was young, and actually it's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about it today. She flew over from Vancouver to England, Scotland, because her son is 17 years old and playing goalkeeper for the first division junior team in Dundee, Scotland. So we're all very, very proud of him. So she and her husband went over to see him and watch him play a couple games. And when she came back, she had a headache, and it's been decades since she had complained about migraines or headache. I'm not sure she actually had a migraine, but she said, "I really don't feel that well, and I've got this migraine." And of course, we keep talking about how fun flying is, but it just kind of brought up, what do you do if you've got one of these massive migraines? Because she wouldn't be able to see, she'd have lights, she'd have all of these things, as I recall. And it's not very pleasant at all.
That's an understatement. Yeah. I mean, some people go into a 2 or 3 day of just horrible, like things just go off the rails so much that they drug themselves, and even drugged, you're still not able to perform well at all.
Right. So when we're talking about a migraine headache, is that just a real extreme example of kind of an ordinary headache?
I've never had one, so I can't tell. I don't know how to describe it. I cannot relate to it. I only hear from other people how they describe it.
Yeah.
And I think it's different. I think it's a whole body headache. It starts as a headache, but it really is an entire body involved. With an ordinary headache, you just sort of feel some sort of a little thing around the head or forehead or some kind of a cramp in the head kind of thing.
Right.
But when it comes to migraine, I believe it's a hormonal whole body reaction that just sets the whole body into processing everything differently.
That sounds about right, because nothing she's ever described sounds anything like I'd ever had.
Yeah. I've done quite a bit of thinking about it, reading about it, of course, and that has been how does it come about, and what could possibly cause it, and the mainstream just keeps chasing again the symptoms. They just keep looking at what nerve they could cut, or what brain receptor they could disable, or what they could stimulate with some electricity to make it shut off, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that at the physiological level, it will be, too much calcium, not enough magnesium. Because when you deliver the magnesium to the tissue, you take the autonomic nervous system out of the fight or flight into the rest and digest. And that's what finally undoes it. When a person finally goes to sleep and relaxes sufficiently, the migraine goes away. The body just disengages from that tense operation. I don't know how to put it. It sort of seems like as if you put the whole body into a different gear.
Right. So, magnesium deficiencies?
I would say so. I would, at the first sign of migraine, please go get yourself a magnesium bath. You know, just be ready. Have your magnesium crystals on hand and draw yourself a tub of water and soak it up. And if you're somewhere where you can't do anything, well, we have this product called Topically Every Pain, which is a blend of this magnesium oil with extracts of several plants. It's kelp and alfalfa. You know, iodine is important. That comes from the kelp. Alfalfa has all manner of amino acids and minerals. But more importantly, we have valerian roots in it. And valerian is, of course, where valium got its name.
All right.
So that is essentially a relaxant. It just sort of helps you stop fussing, fretting, and worrying about things. And then what also is in there is St. John's wort. And that is St. John's wort is a joy-inducing kind of a herb. You know, it just helps a person feel more optimistic. It's the opposite of depression, essentially.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I wanted to test it because I, you know, like everything that we have here, I want to know. So we have this tincture. We call it the St. John's wort drops, made by Twilight. So I thought, well, let's see. I took an eyedropper full, put it in my mouth, and within minutes, I was just sort of feeling so mellow. It was like I wanted to just sort of sit and hug everybody, you know. And it was just the most comical, not me.
Right, right.
You know, it was a fairly, very substantial shift in how my mind operates.
And quickly.
Oh, yeah, 10 minutes. Yeah, quicker than an aspirin.
Right.
So that would be one thing, you know, relax. Disengage the autonomic nervous system. Cause it to go into the rest, digest, shut down, and rebuild. The other thing I suspect strongly is that it's related to liver toxicity.
Mm.
And the reason I say that is because all kinds of foods trigger it. You know, like aged cheese or red wine or some few other things that are on the list. Maybe you could look some stuff up that sounds like triggers to migraine. And you know, these are all different alkaloids, and they are all processed and filtered through the liver. So it stands to reason that if your liver is operating at capacity, and you throw some extra load on it, things are going to go bad, mm-hmm. off the rails. And the reason I say all of this is because I believe that the migraines start with girls just at the onset of their puberty, you know, just as they're getting into hormonal maturity. That's when the migraines start. And what happens is it's the estrogen. Yeah, estrogen in a human body is decomposed in the liver. So if you have excess estrogen, like for instance if you're menopausal and then you have excess estrogen and the liver doesn't have the capacity to deal with it, you get a hot flash.
Oh yeah.
That's what happens with women. So I suspect that there's some kind of a relationship with the increasing hormonal production and yet insufficient cleansing capacity in the body that will cause these sort of things. I speculate that if we look up some statistics that women are going to be more prone to migraines than men, you know.
Right, right. Well, that seems to be the case, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think that has to do with their more complex hormonal nature, you know, like they, you know, a man... You remember that little drawing that shows a man as a control panel on a stereo kind of thing?
Yeah.
Now, as it was a comparison, how, you know, control panel for a man, control panel for a woman. and the banner for the woman had about 30 or 40 different knobs and dials and adjustments and needles and twists and whatever. On a man's banner, it just had one switch that says on and off. And I suspect that this kind of has to do with the hormonal nature of the creature. You know, a man is a lot simpler to regulate, because there really is just one thing. You're either on or you're off. Where with the woman, you have this complication of dealing with the cyclical reproduction and all of that stuff that relates. So no wonder they are difficult to understand, depending on what day of the cycle you encounter it. And it will be a lot more finicky to deal with, and to regulate, control, and repair, and all of that.
Right.
So give them some understanding, boys.
Right. It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy living in that hormonal complexity. Anyway, so
the big thing we talked about so far is relaxation, getting some magnesium into the system,
mm-hmm.
probably some other. So we're again talking about deficiencies, right?
Yes.
People are deficient in certain things.
Right. Well, so the other deficiency, you know, most likely playing some role here would be iodine. You know, iodine seems to cure everything. So let's just add that in. And then now we need to think of what could be causing the troubles, and I would blame it on toxicity. So how do we remove the toxins that are there and should be? And my first instinct would to go after the heavy metals and organic compounds. You know, the volatile organic compounds, like the stuff that's been used to as flame or fire retardant on the baby's pajamas, and you know about this, right?
No.
Yeah, all bed clothing for children, like pajamas and whatnot, are by law required to be flame retardant.
Wow.
So you're actually forcing your children to be sleeping in stuff that's poisonous. Just because a few children caught fire in open fireplaces or something like that, right? This society has a funny way of dealing with problems, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly fully sympathize with anyone who has ever seen a burned person. It's not a pretty sight, and I certainly don't wish it on anyone that their child goes past an open fire and their nightshirt or something like that catches fire off of the hot coals or embers or something like that. But really, how many households do have open fire in them these days? You know, back in the 1950s, when you and I were kids, it was probably more prevalent that there was a chance of seeing some open fire. But these days?
Not likely.
Yeah, but anyway, to this day, the regulations are that all children's bed clothes are fire retardants treated. Which has its own problems, because it's toxic to the human body. So we need to now get into the zeolite to try and detoxify all of the stuff that we have picked up. Have you seen the National Geographic study that they commissioned and financed to see how toxic people were or were not?
No, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, they went to all lengths, you know, like Native American tribes living in Alaska, you know, like some people did, like way, way far away from civilization, and then, you know, all kinds of samples. And then they would go and analyze these people's blood. And even the most remote folks had all kinds of toxins in their body at levels that are surprisingly high. So, you know, the DDT that we have stopped using in the 70s is still in circulation. It still is poisonous. It's still is being passed from the mother to the child, through the umbilical cord or through the placenta into the child. So whatever your grandpa was working with is in you. Anyway, so zeolite to the rescue. Most everybody should get detoxified.
Martin, I have to just interrupt you for a second because I went and I looked up what you were talking about, and I found, I don't know if it's exactly the article, but it just talks about fire retardant. I just want to read two paragraphs from this article. We'll put a link up to it on the podcast page if anyone wants to read in more detail. So, my journalist as guinea pig experiment is taking a disturbing turn. A Swedish chemist is on the phone talking about flame retardants, chemicals added for safety to just about any product that can burn, found in mattresses, carpets, the plastic casings of TVs, electric circuit boards, and automobiles. Flame retardants save hundreds of lives a year in the United States alone. However, where they are, these, however, are where they should not be, inside my body. Ak Bergman of Stockholm University tells me he has received the results of a chemical analysis of my blood, which measured levels of flame-retarding compounds called PBDEs. In mice and rats, high doses interfere with thyroid function, cause reproductive and neurological problems, and hamper neurological development. Little is known about their impact on human health. I hope you're not nervous, but this concentration is very high, Bergman says in a light Swedish accent. My blood level of one particular toxic PBDE, found primarily in U.S.-made products, is 10 times the average found in a small study of U.S. residents and more than 20 times the average in 200 times the average in Sweden. The news about another PBD variant, also toxic to animals, is nearly as bad. My levels would be high even if I were a worker in a factory making the stuff, Bergman says. So it says basically the levels would be high if you were a worker in the factory.
Yeah, visualize a child who's got this nightgown or something like that, and he's doing what children do, sucking on it, right?
Yeah.
So he turns it into some kind of a soother. I mean, he would ingest gigantic quantities of it.
Yeah.
In relative terms, you know.
So these tests are too expensive for most individuals. The National Geographic paid for mine, which would normally cost $15,000, and only a few labs have the technical expertise to detect the trace amounts involved. I ran the test to learn what substances built up in a typical American over a lifetime and where they might come from. So, and then he goes, I'm learning more than I really want to know. Bergman wants to get to the bottom of my flame retardant mystery. Have I recently bought new furniture or rugs? No. Do I spend a lot of time around computer monitors? No. I use a titanium laptop. Do I live near a factory making flame retardants? Nope. The closest one is over 1,000 miles away. What about airplanes? I ask. Yeah, he says. Do you fly a lot? I flew almost 200,000 miles last year, I say. In fact, as I spoke, I'm sitting in an airport waiting for a flight to London. So, interesting. He's been long and curious about PBDE exposure inside airplanes, where plastic and fabric interiors are drenched in flame retardants to meet safety standards set by the FAA. Yeah. I've been wanting to apply for a grant to test pilots and flight attendants, he says, Bergman says, as I hear my flight announced overhead. But yeah. Now the airplane connection is only a hypothesis. Where I pick up this chemical that I had not even heard of until a few weeks ago remains a mystery. Now, how worried should I be? And So then he continues, but absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. So think of it this way: we have now learned that eating certain fish is dangerous because they have high level of mercury.
Yeah.
So why is that? Oh, because they are at the top of the food chain, like tuna. You know, tuna eats the fish. That eat other fish, that eat other fish, that eat other fish.
Right.
So it gets concentrated, right? Like the shrimp filtrates out of the water, and whatever eats the shrimp puts it into their body, and then and so on, right? So it's 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more concentrated. So when I finally eat my tuna, it's way more toxic than, say, the bottom feeders or the algae. So similarly, when your grandpa, or I should say grandma, probably, because this is probably more passed from mother to mother to mother, from mother to child, I should say, you know, this will end up being concentrated from one generation to the next. And that's probably why we're seeing these rising levels of different civilization illnesses. You know, autism is rising tremendously. Migraines certainly are common. Allergies are common, probably more so than they used to be.
Yes, no, way more common than they used to be.
And so I would be blaming it on the rising overall toxicity level. You know, not only is it that our environment has more and more of these toxic things in it, but also whatever's in a parent when they conceive the child, it's being passed as well.
Yeah.
So, going back to the detox, zeolite is marvelously universal. It doesn't care what the substance is, as long as it's electropositive, it attracts it, traps it, and escorts it out of your body. So, if you have lived in a civilized, industrialized setting, or your parent or your grandparent did, you may as well consider doing a detox with zeolite.
Right, so can you kind of step me through what a good detox with zeolite would look like? Would I take some in the morning? How much? Take it in the evening? Or do I take it with dinner? Or do I... How?
Well, you can either take the liquid form or the powder form. Either way, you add it to your lifestyle. Zeolite has a very short span in your body. You know, like whatever you ingest, you pee out within a couple of hours.
Okay.
So the best would be, if you're taking the liquid, you know, in every glass of water, well, same for the powder, you know, add it to your drink or add it to your food.
So one drop or 10 drops?
Yes. Tune it to your capacity. When I was first starting with the zeolite, my liver being quite compromised from my previous adventures, I could only handle like 3 drops 4 or 5 times a day. And even at that level, I was exceedingly tired from it. Because, you know, when you load your liver, it has no spare capacity to deal with your basic metabolism. So by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was asleep on the sofa. I just had no energy. Everything was devoted to the cleansing. So I had to pull back. So depending on how sick the person is, that's how little they can take. Although I know that, you know, I checked with the manufacturer of the ultra-liquid zeolite that we offer, and they said that they put 26 drops as a serving size. So a person could take lots. I said, well, what's the top end? And they said, well, a bottle a day.
Wow.
So I don't know. I can't imagine for me. That would be, that would put me in, I don't know what they would do to me. Perhaps I would just simply throw up or stuff like that. But anyway, you know, you slowly increase the dosage to your own personal capacity. It's not difficult to know, you know, if you're getting tired, you know what it's from. Of course, if you're already suffering from toxicity and have chronic fatigue, now you're going from tired to really, really, really tired.
Right. But would that be a case of getting worse before you get better, or would that be...
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It definitely did get better. I remember when I first started on it, the smells and the colors of my urine were just... I mean, entertaining, to say the least. I mean, really, purples and greens and, all the stuff that had been in me for years, you know? was coming out.
Right, right. Well, and that's kind of what happens. It takes years to get in, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes. So anyway, physiologic, really, really useful thing. Preventive or ongoing. The other thing that I've highlighted on our selection is extra fiber. You know, high pectin apple fiber is a really interesting tool. Pectin is very attractive to toxins. It just, there's some kind of an electrochemical affinity. So it's really good at binding and dragging out of you all kinds of toxins. So not only, you know, the fiber of the apple pectin helps to increase the bulk in your guts and moves things through and cleanse and scrub and, you know, just clean the whole process. But the pectin is really good at attracting and absorbing toxicity. Because a lot of toxins are just sitting in the gut, you know. They're just parked. They're waiting to be somehow connected to something that will safely escort it out of your body.
Right, right.
But some of the stuff is so dangerous that your body just parks it and lets it sit in quiet places.
Which would typically be fat, right?
Which would typically be fat.
Yeah. So one of the things that happens when you get rid of the toxins is your body gets healthier, and the weight that it holds on to starts lets go of it, right?
Right. Yeah. The inverse is also a case. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she's on Zoetine to drop some of her weight. And she was calling to say, "Listen, I have a success. I've already dropped 2 dress sizes."
Wow.
And I'm saying, "Good." And she says, "I have questions though. I'm taking 4 tablespoons a day and I'm experiencing headaches." Mm. And I'm saying, "Well, the problem is that you're doing too fast. You're needing to drink more and take less of these stimulants."
Yeah, because the headaches would be an example of her detoxing, right?
That's right, yeah. As you're dropping the fat, where does the toxin go, right?
Yeah.
It goes into circulation.
So you would use the zeolite in conjunction with weight loss then, right?
It would totally make sense to do that.
As one of the things that I'm not quite in the habit of, but what I want to do, because as you know, I do hot yoga 2 or 3 times a week. And what I want to do is drink some zeolite before the hot yoga and some zeolite after, because I'm sure I'm releasing lots of toxins and I want them kind of out of the body, not...
Well, you know, when you sweat as much as you do during the hot yoga, a lot of stuff is actually leaving the body through the sweat.
Mm.
Here's a funny thing. You know, the composition of your sweat is really similar to the composition of your urine.
Oh.
So, don't you be licking the stuff, you know what you're licking.
Right.
I mean, it's not such a big deal, really. But maybe if you are comfortable with licking your sweat, you should be more comfortable with the concept of the urine therapy, right?
What's the concept of the urine therapy?
Well, in really poor countries like India, they have actually taught and practiced drinking your own urine. Because when you drink some of your midstream urine, you're giving your body the exact idea of what it's doing. So somehow it's like a self-made homeopathic.
Oh.
It stimulates the immune system just the right way that it knows what's going on.
Wow, I've never heard that, Martin.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
Yeah, I had this one friend, imagine this fellow. He was preparing to go to India on an extended trip. And just before going, he went to a dentist and had a bunch of his mercury fillings drilled out, removed, and replaced with the white stuff, white composite.
Yeah.
Well, they did it without the necessary precautions and essentially loaded him up with mercury.
Right.
Within 2 or 3 weeks in India, he was immensely sick, like, you know, falling apart sick.
Wow.
And he was in some ashram, studying the Eastern philosophies and whatnot. And the wise elder, guru something, said, well, boy, here's what you do. And surely, he said, it completely changed his life, you know, saved him, cured him. And he's been practicing that same thing ever since. And he was one of the healthiest, you know, 50-something-year-old guys I've known. Extremely vigorous, clear-minded, healthy, you know, together, balanced. All the great things you can say about a guy. And so I asked him, I said, you know, I drink my own juice.
Interesting.
And I know better, you know, I should do it, but I have just such cultural bias on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to this day, it's just not coming to me as something I want to get into. So, I'm a chicken.
Yeah. Well, me too. I'm with you on that one.
Oh, well. So, anyway, push on the liver, you know, cause the liver to detoxify. But before you can push on the liver, you must cleanse your colon.
Yeah.
So, number one, get into something like Excella Strata Flora or the Floracol or any one of the great probiotic products that we have. We have multiple choices, all of them good, appropriate, you know, each one of them slightly different. But anyway, the Strata Flora, I think, is probably your best choice to first prepare your colon for what's coming. And what's coming is liver cleanse.
Right.
And I would go with Dr. Miller's tea, which is a further push on the colon and push on the liver. And it just starts dumping the toxins. So you will slim down, at the same time it will cleanse your organs, and at the same time it will create the spare capacity in your detoxification organs, so that when a toxin arrives, like a glass of red wine or something like that, it doesn't hit you so hard that you end up with a migraine.
Right. Cool.
So that's my recipe. Prevention. Long-term plan. Follow Stephen Covey's advice. Focus on what's important. The quadrants to behavior. Meaning, in this world, that would be cleansing. Cleanse your colon, cleanse your liver. Then you'll be ready for those little hits that your life will undoubtedly bring your way.
Right, right. Cool.
Yes, very cool. So, I hope I have managed to prevent a whole bunch of headaches for somebody.
There you go, I think so. Yeah, for sure.
Well, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, I was thinking we've kind of run out of time because we've hit the 35-minute mark, and I know you've got a busy day, and I need to get this information out to the public as fast as possible.
Okay, so let's shut it down. Okay, folks, if you want to discuss your specific headaches or your specific toxicity or your specific, I don't know what's bothering you, you can call us at 1-866-543-3388. You can look us up online at www.life-enthusiast.com. This is Martin and Scott restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you so much for listening.